You might think it's a strange title of your handout if you got one about overcoming fear and witnessing, but I realize that many people are inhibited about ever sharing their faith, and it's not they don't want to. It's not that they don't want to see people saved, but it's just that they're a little reserved, and because the devil and our flesh will just continually put fear in us about opening up about the most important decision we ever made. I mentioned the most important decision I ever made was accepting Christ as my Savior. The second decision that's most important was marrying Amy and then our kids after that. But the most important decision we ever make is our putting our faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not that we don't value it, but we have some fear in it. And so I just thought I'd give this lesson tonight and trust it'll be a blessing to you so that if you're one of those that say, I would like to, but the devil or our flesh, whichever it is, just keeps us living in fear. And so I trust that these 7 or 8 points or so will help you overcome fear in witnessing. So if we'll look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 28, of course, that's the springboard verse, the Great Commission, the Great Command, whatever you want to call it, that Jesus Christ gives. That, and you know it so well, probably without turning there, you could almost quote it. But the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And for those that may think, well, that was a command to the disciples. Well, if you'll think through this circular reasoning with me, it says, teaching them to observe all things. One of those all things was just giving, teaching the folks that they need to be saved. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That just means go tell them, teach them, show them, proclaim the message, the gospel message. Teach all nations. Well, and then it goes on in verse number 20 and says, teaching them all things whatsoever commanded you. So one of the things that Jesus commanded the disciples was to go and make disciples. So one of the all things in verse number 20 takes you back to verse number 19, and that is to go to all the people, because there are a few people, or there are groups of people that say, no, that was a command to the people right there on that day. And yes, it was, but it was a cyclical or circular command because it was going to them. But since those ones were supposed to teach the people that got saved all the things that Jesus taught them, one of the all things was to go and make disciples. So therefore, you're supposed to teach that person that they're supposed to go make disciples. And I don't think anybody in our church is thinking that. But in case you ever run into somebody that says, well, no, that was a command of the disciples, that they were supposed to do it. Yes, and it's supposed to have been passed all the way down to now. So that's where we get it. But the witnessing, sharing the gospel, making disciples, whatever you want to call it, we understand that some people let fear keep them from sharing their faith. John chapter 7, verse 13 says that no man spake openly for fear. You remember Joseph of Arimathea was secretly a disciple, but for fear of the Jews. And so there's the attitude of fear has not left us now. So I want to give you a few points that will help you if you do have that fear. I don't believe that anybody, if they're saved by the Holy Spirit, if they're saved by the good grace of God, and they have a desire for people to get saved, that's for sure. But sometimes our fear, apprehension keeps us. So Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us through this as we just work our way through that it might be a blessing, dear God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn there in 1 Peter chapter 3. It tells us to be always ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And what that means is, good old West Virginia language, is always have your gun cocked and loaded, ready to shoot it off at anything, because you never know when God would open up an opportunity for you to share the gospel with somebody. Now, I believe that people ought to go intentionally, looking for people that don't know Jesus Christ to tell them. We knock on doors around here. We go out and we visit on our bus routes. We go out into areas and neighbors. We do all of that. But not only should you do it when you're going then, but you should just be ready any old time that God opens up an opportunity for you to share your faith with somebody who doesn't know it. So we're supposed to be always ready. And so with that being said, because you're supposed to always be ready, I believe you ought to have it planned out what you want to say. So I believe you ought to have a soul winning or witnessing, disciple making, whatever, have a soul winning plan. Now, I've been with many good people that have different plans. The Romans Road is a famous one. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, 3:23, Romans 5, 8, Romans 10, 9 through 10. We understand that's the Romans Road, as somebody has coined it, that talks about everybody being a sinner for all have sinned, and then going to that price on sin in Romans 6, 23, and then that that Jesus paid that price, Romans 5, 8, and then that a person needs to call and personally receive Jesus Christ in their heart, Romans 10, 9 through 13. That's a plan. I've heard people that start off in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They'll take him from that verse to the love of God, and they'll take him from that, whosoever believeth in him, then go to the part about Jesus Christ, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I've been with a fellow a long time ago. He took you from back in Isaiah where it said, though your sins be as scarlet should be white as snow, and took you from that part and then showed you how those sins were a blot on your account. Now you get them taken care of. Really, I don't care which plan you use, as long as it's got in there the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's got the parts that we're a sinner and Jesus is the Savior, and a person needs to receive Christ as their personal Savior. You can take any plan you want to get there. Sometimes it may take you an hour and a half to get around the long way, or somebody might take a half hour. Somebody might just be ready, and they say, we've had folks come at this church. I know. They come down the aisle. They know the gospel as well as you do. When they get down here, they don't need somebody to repeat it again. You just quickly hit the highlights and say, I know. I was listening to a preacher preach the other day, and he said the first person that he ever brought to church was wanting to come forward. And he said, I was so young and timid, and he said, I didn't know what to say, and I got down there, and I was just stuttering around. And he said, basically, I don't know what to say. And that guy, his friend that came with him, he said, I know what to do. I've been in church most of my life. I know I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so he wasn't much help, but he was an encouragement. So I'm saying, whatever your plan is, get it, and that will help you. This is the topic, how to overcome fear in witnessing. And one is, know where you're going. If that's written in your Bible, I've got New Testaments that I show myself where to start from years ago. Start at this verse, and at the bottom of that verse, I've got where to go to the next verse. Because sometimes you may think you know, but you forget. And then at the bottom of that verse, it goes to the next verse. And then at the bottom of that verse, goes to the next verse. Teenagers, we used to take them out, knocking on doors and inviting people to church. And some of them, they would just take one of our gospel tracts, and they would say, well, this Bible verse is written right here on this little piece of paper, and this Bible verse says this. Then they'd go to the next point in the gospel tract. Then the next point, that was a plan. But number one, have a plan. But not only if we're overcoming our fear, we ought to pray about it. I want to read to you Psalm 34, verse number 4. It talks about what we can do when fear gets us. The Bible says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. It's not sin to be afraid of telling somebody about your faith. That doesn't mean you're a poor Christian. That doesn't mean you're ashamed of your faith. I've heard people talk about, say, well, if you can't speak up for Jesus, something's wrong. Well, something is wrong, but the something that's wrong is we're all human and we have frailties and fears. That's just normal. And so if you're one of those ones, what you can do about that is not only have a plan, but ask God about it. Pray and ask him to give you confidence in your presentation, in your witnessing. Number three, realize that the Lord's with you. And there's several verses on here. You know Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus says, never leave us nor forsake us. And somebody has said, I didn't check this out, but somebody said there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. And of course, you can quickly see one for every day of the year. On leap year, I suppose you're on your own that one day, but the rest of the time, you're good to go. Because there is this aspect that we ought to be emboldened because the Lord goes with us. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I've told you that story before where the preacher was holding up the service because he was out, they found out later, out in the woods praying, but they would sing and sang and sang as long as they could sing. This camp meeting couldn't start. And finally, this little boy came and he said, I saw the preacher. He's out there in the back of the woods praying, and he's coming. He's ready to come on. He said, he's bringing that big one with him. And what that big one was the Lord, because that little boy had heard the preacher say, God, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. You're bigger than me. God, you can do it and I can't do it. I don't want to go up there if you're not going with me. And he ascertained from the conversation, the one-sided conversation, he heard that that pastor or preacher was coming, but he was bringing the big one with him, and God was going to be there and show up as well. And so I'm telling you this evening, in one way we can overcome fear is just remember, you're not alone. And can I go even further than that? You're not even there on your own mission. You're just an errand boy, an errand girl on the mission from God. You're doing His bidding. You're doing what He told you to do. And we're not even there for ourselves. So remember, though, that He's with us. Number four, let me get into this. Don't be afraid. This is nowhere in the Scripture. This is just some philosophy, though, if I could throw it in a little bit. And I try to always tell you when I depart from the Bible and get into my own stuff, this is my own thing. Can I tell you not to be afraid of making a mistake? You say, wouldn't it be terrible if you will make a mistake? Yes, it will. I don't mean to be haphazard with your presentation. I don't mean to just be just whimsical in it. But I've known good people who have been so afraid that they might say something wrong and somehow mess it up. Remember, it's not you that does the saving anyways. You're just witnessing about what happened in your life. You're not going to get it wrong. You're seeking the Lord. You're trying to do what's right. But I've known folks that are paralyzed with fear about sharing their faith because what if I do something wrong? You're not going to. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. Better to just get out there and get it done. And then number five, it rose quickly with it. Don't be afraid about being. Don't fear being asked questions. Sometimes many people will be afraid because they hate to get into a theological debate. Listen, folks, we're not getting into a theological debate. We're just sharing the gospel, plain and simple, the same one we taught to the beginner class this past Sunday, same one that we taught junior church the Sunday before, same one that's preached from this pulpit for this many years. It's the pure, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't fear being asked questions. Most interested people, if I hope I've got this right to you, most interested people, they're not going to try to stump you. You know, the old thing that says, well, how many angels can fit on the head of a needle? I don't know. I haven't seen the first angel yet. I've seen the head of a needle, but I don't know how many of them will get on there, but I figure out God knows. They aren't going to do that if they're truly interested. Now, if it's somebody that's trying to trip you up in that, it's really not worth your waste of time anyways. You're going to quickly figure that out and just move along. That's not the time to start witnessing to them because they're trying to do that. So I can tell you this, that most interested people, if they're true, if they're under the conviction of the Lord and they're listening to it and they're inquiring of you, they're not trying to stump you on Bible knowledge. How many books are in the Bible? How many are in the New Testament? How many of the Old Testament? What's the middle verse of the Bible? How many minor prophets? How many major prophets? How many of this? How many of this? What about that Revelation stuff? They're not doing that. Now, they may ask all those questions, but there'll be legitimate questions that you can easily just say, well, let's get to that later. Let's start back on the most important stuff, and that is that Jesus Christ came to this earth to save your soul. So don't be afraid of that. Simply saying, I don't know the answer to that, is okay. I've known many people that they've been afraid to get in the gospel with folks, not because they're afraid somebody was, yes, stump them or make them purposely look bad, but that they legitimately wouldn't know the answer to something somebody asked. If you get to that point, what you're going to have to do is the same thing I do when people ask me something, say, I don't know. I might have to think on that for a while. Or get better yet, get in the Bible and see what it says. I don't know the answer. Everybody can be stumped by some question or another. It doesn't matter who they are. Preacher Lastly or any other good pastor, preacher in all the world could get stumped by something because none of us know it all. So don't be afraid of that. Don't fear being asked questions. Let me give you this one. This is more about we please men sometimes. Would you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? 1 Thessalonians, all the books that end in INS, they're all IANS together, Philippians, Colossians, then Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's where many of us get caught up in being afraid. Be more concerned about souls than friends. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Verse number 4, the Bible says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Now, this is specifically when Paul was used of God to found that church there, and he said, we weren't trying to say what men want to hear, we were trying to please God, but the principle remains the same. We're not pleasing men. That's not why we're out there. If we were pleasing men, we would come to their door and say, "Hey, my name's Ed McMahon. I'm with the Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes, and you're the winner." Well, there's a problem. You don't work for them. Ed McMahon's dead, and there ain't no money to be given out, I don't think. No, there is to be given out, probably. But they're not coming to our door, unfortunately. So we see that if we want to please men, we just tell them something they want to hear anyway. But we're not pleasing men. Instead, we're pleasing God. We should only strive to please Him. And I'm not trying to be fatalistic, but in letter B underneath there, that Luke chapter 16, that's that rich man and Lazarus. There will be a time, and again, I'm not trying to guilt anybody into this, but I'm just trying to get us to think. There will be a time when we won't care at all about our reputation. We will only have wished that we had told more people about the Savior. So we see that we ought to be more concerned about our soul, the souls of people, than we are our friends. Now, please, let me take a little time out. That doesn't mean that every friendship you have, you just throw caution to the wind and you go in there and say, "I don't care whether you want to listen or not. You sit down. I'm going to tell you a few things." That may be the sure way to offend somebody, run them off, and you never get a chance to tell them again. Every situation is different. You've got work situations that you're not allowed to share those things on the job site, and you don't see that person other than that. You've got to pray for an opportunity. There's other people in your family. Your family's sometimes the hardest ones to witness to because, number one, they know you. They know when you weren't such a strong Christian probably, but then they also are closely related to you. You've got to not push them away because they've got your grandkids, some of them. They've got your nieces and nephews, and there's a lot of intricate parts into this relationship. So you say, "What am I supposed to do about that, Pastor?" You're supposed to pray. Amen. And ask the Lord's will and wisdom in that, because sometimes you'll just push them so far away that they'll never listen to you. But there's also danger on the opposite side of that you'll be so careful that you'll never tell them about the gospel, and that one's wrong as well. And I don't know where to tell you to land except to tell you to land on your knees in prayer, asking the Lord for wisdom. So we ought to, though, be more concerned about the souls of people than we are our reputation or our friends. And there ought to be on your prayer list, if you know somebody, some of your family, a brother, a sister, a cousin, a coworker, whoever, and they're not saved, you ought to make it a constant matter of prayer. "Lord, give me a chance to spread the gospel to them. Share the gospel with them." And that may be days, weeks, months, or years. I don't know. But you ought to be praying, "Lord, I need you to help me get the opportunity," and you'd be softening up their heart. Number seven, be determined, and I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians right after Acts, Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'll make an application here. This isn't the specific interpretation of the passage, but it certainly does no harm to the passage. Verse number 4, 2 Corinthians 10. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The strongholds in those people's lives would be those things that would keep them away from Christ and keep them away from a walk of Christ. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." There's a whole lot in that verse that a person would have to unpack, and we won't do it all tonight, but here's what I want to bring your attention to. God's using the apostle to write to these Corinthians because there were some Corinthian people who were trying to push Paul and his reputation out of the way. He was gone from here at this point. And so God is using him to tell them to cast down, put down, kick out of the way those imaginations or those thoughts and those conjures, what it conjured up, all of those things that pull you away from Christ, casting down imaginations and every high thing, whatever, and this is true in all of our lives, whatever exalts itself against the knowledge of God is bad. It ought to be cast down, cast out, gotten away from. So that's the specific interpretation of the passage here, but can I just draw an application? Can I tell you to be determined and don't let imaginations defeat you? Cast down those thoughts that whatever's rising up against somebody coming to Jesus Christ. Let me give you explain what I mean by this. I have witnessed to people before, even though I had to battle a lot of vain imaginations because I'd already convinced myself that they didn't want to hear, they were Catholics, or they didn't like religion, they didn't like me, they didn't like this, they didn't like the other. It's amazing what thoughts either your flesh or the devil will put up to you to try to get you not to share your faith. And can I tell you what's also happened? I've shared my faith many times with people, and even though I thought that, when I got into it, they were totally false. I'll give you a specific illustration. I was out truly just knocking on doors, this one house in around Delaware, Ohio, where we're at. And so I'm walking up, and the storm door was shut. The big door was open, and I could see the people through there. And I'm standing on the 6 feet away from the door. I knocked and stepped back a little bit, and I could just see them in there. And I had already convinced myself that they were mad. They didn't want to see me. They didn't like... they were Catholic, they didn't like Baptists, they didn't like men, they didn't like people with ties, they didn't like, I don't know, every thought I could think of that was true about me, they didn't like West Virginians, they didn't even know where I was from, they didn't like anybody, every thought I could think of, and that's almost no joke, every thought I could think of why they would object to me being on their porch went through my mind. And I was defeated before they ever came to that door. Can I tell you, when they opened that door, they were some of the sweetest people that I'd ever met. They were glad to see me. They were didn't receive Christ as Savior, but they were certainly glad to see me. They were receptive to the gospel. They didn't receive the gospel and be saved, but they were very open, and they were nice and kind and gracious, and all of those things that I thought were just simply a plant by the devil or my flesh, whichever, to try to get me not to be there on their porch. Well, if that happens to me on the porch, then it also happens to all of us in our personal conversations with our friends. We'll think, well, I'll tell them, I'll pray for them. But then we start thinking, well, what will they think of me? We'll think, I'd invite them to church. But then we'll have some thought, well, what if they don't like church? And we'll have all kinds of half a dozen thoughts come up to our minds, objections to why we shouldn't do what the Lord has put on our heart to ask Him. And I believe some of these vain imaginations come up. So I'm asking you, telling you, not to let those vain imaginations defeat you. And then I'll give you the last one in Ephesians chapter 5. It's no stranger to the crowd here. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. And as we're filled with the Spirit, as we're filled with the Spirit, then we know that and He's working in the situation that we're in. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. And we ought to live not just for witnessing's sake, but for every area of our Christian life. We ought to be walking according to the Spirit's leading. We ought to be filled with the Spirit. You ought to, every day, we ought to get up and just say, Lord, lead me. Guide me. Bring things to my remembrance. Lord, hold me back. Push me forward. Stop me. Start me. Lord, I want to be filled with you, filled with your Spirit. And that's the thing that we can do to overcome fear in witnessing, is be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Because we're empowered by Him, then we realize if we're empowered by Him, we're already doing His work. We realize we're just a missionary, an errand boy. Then we realize if He empowers the errand boy for the errand that He'd already dictated that we do, then we've got a winning combination here. So tonight, I'm not even preaching that you should go witness to somebody. I think everybody in the crowd already knows that we should. I'm trying to give you some ammunition in the gun to help you overcome the fear in witnessing. And I hope that you'll take this back to the house and as you look up those verses sometime and just see if those don't ring true. to you in your life about why sometimes you've had fear in sharing your faith. Can I just give you the overwhelming reason why you're fearful, why we're fearful? I say not like you and not me, it's all of us. Can I tell you why? Because it's spiritual work. You know, even if a guy or a girl, whoever, even if a fella person doesn't like your team, you have no problem going in on Monday after a football game on Sunday and bragging about the team that you love that won. Why is that so easy? That's not spiritual work. If you like to hike, you have no problem. Even if the people that you go to work with don't hike and they don't ever, nor are they going to start, you don't mind going in and telling them, man, you'll never believe I saw some of the most beautiful scenery on this hike that I took over the weekend. You know why that's easy? That's not spiritual work. You can talk about cars, you can talk about hunting, you can talk about guns, you can talk about your home improvements, you can talk about all those things because those don't make the devil nervous. So why do we have fear in witnessing? Because we're entering into the spiritual. And it's either we go forward and try to alleviate some of the fear and go forward, or we pull back, and we know that pulling back is not the right way to go. Because we know we're already commanded to take the gospel to the world. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you to make us strong enough to overcome this fear in witnessing. And Lord, it just seemed like it was the night to share with this crowd in here. All of us knowing that we're supposed to be witnesses. You should be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the othermost part of the earth. We already know that. Lord, I don't need to preach that to this crowd. But Lord, what I do need to do is give some help for us that have fear in it. And so I pray that you would strengthen us through these good words from your word tonight. Now here's the invitation. You don't need to come forward, although you're welcome to. The altar is always open. But I trust that everybody in this house probably needs a little bit of dose of overcoming fear and witnessing. So I'm just going to ask you to make an altar out of your seat and just assume that everybody needs to do a little prayer meeting with the Lord, with Jesus tonight. And I'm asking you to tuck that little paper away and look at it sometime at your leisure and let the Lord continue to speak to you. But now as a startup, that you'd pray and say, Lord, I pray you'd help me be bolder in my faith and help me, give me opportunities to share my faith with others that desperately need it. Father, would you bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Would you play now? And as you sit there, I trust that everybody would just have a little prayer meeting with Jesus. I don't think that anybody in this room is ashamed of him. I don't think you don't want everybody you know to get saved. I think you do. But I believe we all have some fear, apprehension. I trust that you had a little prayer meeting with the Lord. But here's the final request. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the whole lesson was about overcoming fear and witnessing. Witnessing, all witnessing is doing is telling something that happened to you. And what I'm speaking about tonight is witnessing of the fact that Jesus saved my soul. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, you heard enough in that little presentation to know that you and I were all sinners. We need to be saved by the good grace of God so we can go to heaven before it's eternally too late. And if you're here and you're not saved, I challenge you to stand up from your seat, come down here to the front, and let me take a Bible and show you how you be sure. As they just play through another verse, this verse is yours. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in God's house on a Wednesday night, and a Wednesday night in May while it's still daylight, even at the end of a Wednesday. This is our latest service, starts at 7, and it's still daylight even after this one. This is a wonderful time of year, and we're so excited about that. And while Allie, my daughter in 10th grade, this is her last day of school, so she's out today for the summer. But when they were playing ball games in the height of COVID, instead of slapping hands underneath the volleyball net, they would all just wave at each other. So we didn't have fellowship time tonight, but why don't you stand together? If you can't shake hands, you can't bump fists, before you leave tonight, at least wave to somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, sir. Thank you.